In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Well, in the Middle Ages and before, and especially in that time leading up to the 16th century Reformation, this is how you served God. If you really wanted to serve God, you couldn't do it very well in an ordinary profession, farming, shopkeeper, whatever else you might want to do, blacksmith. And you were pretty much locked into these things by the family you were born into. You could occasionally rise above the level of your family. Martin Luther tried to. He was going to go be a lawyer. His dad had been a miner, actually, in many ways, a very successful miner. But Martin Luther was pushed by his dad to go into law, but he didn't. He wanted to serve God. And to do that, really serve God, he had to leave all that behind and forsake an ordinary profession in life and dedicate himself solely to the church. So he became a monk. He joined a monastery, and that's where he remained until the gospel came clear. And today in Christianity, it's not that much different. Nobody's joining up at monasteries in big numbers, but if you really want to serve God, you do things like give to charity, spend some time at church, serve on a committee, get part of a small group, do some evangelism. That's the spiritual stuff. The rest of it, that's just earning money so you can go about your daily business. What's wrong here? We're going to continue our six-part series on Reformation theology on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest today. We're going to talk about the spirituality of ordinary life. Dr. Veith is a regular guest. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
Spiritual things are giving to charity, maybe serving at a soup kitchen, certainly evangelism and serving on a committee or a small group in church. Those are the spiritual things. The rest of it is ordinary and mundane, and although it's necessary, does not matter in any sense for eternity. Your reaction?
Well, according to the doctrine of vocation, God works in the world. And so when we're driving your kids to soccer practice or fixing a meal for your family or going to work to earn a living, interacting with customers, being a good citizen, these are all, according to Lutheranism, those are all holy orders. And God is in those. According to the doctrine of vocation and just in our everyday life, you know, we ask God to give us this day our daily bread, and He does. And He gives us our daily bread through the work of farmers and millers and bakers and factory workers and truck drivers and the lady at the checkout counter in the grocery store and the people who prepared our meal. And just as we give thanks before we eat, we're thanking God for what's put before us. But He gives us His gifts through people in their ordinary lives. God is hidden in them, as Luther described it. That's the doctrine of vocation. And God brings new life through the vocation of fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, through the family. And when we care for our kids and take care of them, doing what they need, God is working through us to bless them, and our whole life in the world is being served by other people but it's really being served by God who's working through other people. And then you realize that God is working through us, just in the most ordinary parts of daily life. That's the doctrine of vocation.
Okay, so I think the next question that people might have is, that sounds like I've had too narrow a view of those things that are service to God, service to neighbor, God serving my neighbor, much, much too narrow a view. How can something like, well, let's use your examples, driving the kids to soccer practice, or fixing dinner, or working my everyday workaday job that really has nothing overtly spiritual about it at all. Maybe I'm a banker, or I bake bread, or something like that. How can any of that be spiritual? Those are all earthly things.
Well, we're told by Scripture very clearly we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our love for God is completely His gift, what He works through Christ. And our relationship to God doesn't depend on our good works, or it's all the work of Christ. But Luther said, you know, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. The love of God, but then love of neighbor. God sends us into the world, into our ordinary lives, to love and serve our neighbors. And the vocation of, or the purpose of every vocation, according to Luther, is to love and serve our neighbors. So every vocation, and we have many vocations, we have many callings, and in them all, we are to love and serve the human beings that God puts into our lives. So if your vocation is as a parent, your neighbor is your kid. And when you're driving them to soccer practice, giving up, you know, your precious time to do something for your kid, you're loving and serving your neighbor. And that's what pleases God. When you're at work, in the office, you're doing things for other people. You're loving and serving your neighbor, your customers. If you're not providing a service or a product that somebody needs, you won't stay in business very long. So you're giving somebody something they need. And you know, you can look at that just as a job, just doing what you need to do to make a living. But you can look at it through the eyes of faith, and you're loving and serving someone. And, of course, Jesus gives us that amazing teaching that when you've done it, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. When we feed the hungry, when we take care of clothe the naked, when we visit the sick, all of those things, our neighbor in need, Christ is hidden there. So in just the ordinary routines of life, we're doing something spiritually of the greatest magnitude. We're serving Christ, but we're not doing it by doing, you know, special spiritual things for Him. We're just loving the neighbor that He puts before us, but He counts it as if we've done it for Him.
The 16th century reformer Martin Luther was, as he reflected back on his time in the monastery, found there a great evil, if you will.
Yeah.
He called it self-invented works or self-imagined works. What was he talking about, and how does a right understanding of vocation protect us from the evil of self-invented works?
Well, part of Luther's critique of monasticism is even while they were claiming that they were being saved by their good works, he said, but who are you helping? You're withdrawing from the world. You're promising not to have a family. You're promising not to be in business with your vows of celibacy and poverty. And, of course, the holiest one of all were hermits who wouldn't even interact even with other monks. But Luther's point is, that's not what God wants. God wants us to be, to love and serve other people. So often, the good works that we make up for ourselves, that we think we're doing these great things for God, actually, they're not even good, because they don't actually help anybody. And so, a good understanding of vocation means we can do that. Whatever, you don't have to be missionary to go out in the world. And some people are called to do that, and that's their vocation, and that's a great thing. And some people are called to be pastors and church workers. But wherever you are, if you're a parent, you're in taking care of your kids and bringing them to church and bringing them to baptism and in raising them up the way they need to grow, God is in that, and you're doing a holy work in taking care of your kids. Well, Luther had a comment somewhere where he said, changing a baby's diaper is a holier work than all the monks and all the monasteries, what they do. And again, that's because the parent, and you're talking about the father, if I remember it right, the father changing the baby's diaper, he's loving and serving his little neighbor, his child. And that's a sacred thing. And he's doing the works of his calling. He's following God's word, God's command about how fathers should care for their children, and not a commandment. I mean, the self-invented things don't even have God's command behind them. Rather, God asks us to fulfill our calling, to do what he's called us to do, and that is becomes a holy thing.
Well, when we come back from the break, this runs counter to so much of the thinking in the church today. The church, in many ways, has made it its business, especially American Christianity, to keep Christians busy, and not with these things that they're called to in their everyday life. Many a husband is called away from his wife and children to serve in the church or to stay busy doing quote-unquote spiritual things. Same thing for wives and even the kids as well. Does this serve the neighbor? We got to keep the people busy. We have to give them something to do. Is the church simply falling back into the same self-invented works, kind of a modern American monasticism for suburbanites, as was holding sway in the medieval church as well? Our email address is, we talk about the spirituality of ordinary life with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at issuesetc or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
you go to work, where a day seems a lifetime. You're asking, is this what God wants you to do? Take comfort in this. Your boss is your neighbor. You're doing good works God prepared just for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the spirituality of ordinary life. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Veith is author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Dr. Veith, one of the insights I've heard you speak on several times that I find particularly helpful is that Christians ought to understand their lives in terms of long gospel repentance and confession of sins in vocational terms. That is, I think you say, we need to realize that we sin within our vocations. Our sins are kind of particular to our vocations. What do you mean by that, and how does that help us in terms of a life of daily repentance?
Well, I mean, the fact is, though we're called to love and serve our neighbors in our callings, we often, instead of wanting to serve somebody, like Bob Dylan was singing, we want to be served. You know, we want people to do things for us. We don't want to do that. We're not doing things with love. We often violate our vocations. We take advantage of them. We harm our neighbor instead of loving and serving him. In the catechism, Luther's Small Catechism, it talks about on the preparing for confession of sins, he says to consider your offices. That's another name for vocation, whether you're a father, mother, husband, wife, a master, servant, and so on, in light of the Ten Commandments. Those are the sins, he says, that you should confess before God. And the Christian life simply is, we're living in vocation, but we sin, and then we come to church on Sunday mornings, and we examine our lives, and we confess our sinfulness. We confess how we've sinned in our callings. And then we receive through the pastor's vocation, where he's acting in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is working through him to bring us forgiveness. And then in church, we are built up in our faith, we're forgiven, then we're sent back out into our vocations again for the rest of the week. And again, we're growing. Hopefully, we're making progress, but we still sin. So we come back the next week and we make our confession about our sins in our callings. Then we're forgiven. Then we come back, and that's the rhythm of the Christian life. And through that, that's where we grow. And our Christian life is to be lived that in vocation. That's where the fruit of our faith is manifested. That's where the love that's supposed to be the fruit of our faith, that's where it takes place. And in that rhythm of the Christian life, again, we're growing in faith. We're becoming sanctified little by little, but in a very real way.
How do I know what my vocation or vocations are?
Well, first of all, vocation is in the here and now. Right now is your vocation. It's not something that's just that you prepare for, that you plan for. Vocation is something not that we just choose, but that God brings us to. And so, if you're thinking about the vocation, like in the workplace, it depends on your skills and abilities and your inclinations, your personality. But even more than that, maybe your opportunities, where God brings you to. And again, a college student might be planning to be a lawyer or whatever eventually. But his vocation is in here and now. Right now, his calling is to be a student. And he's to love and serve the neighbors in the classroom and in his studies, including the people that he's studying, the books that he's reading. The authors are his neighbors, sort of. And maybe he's working a job at a fast food joint to make money for his education. Well, right then, where he's on the job. He's loving and serving his neighbors by giving them food to eat, by the way he treats his fellow workers and his bosses. That's a calling right now. And again, God calls us to different things at different times. We have callings in the family, which is primary in many ways, in the workplace, in the church, and in our citizenship, in the culture that where God has placed us. And, you know, in it all, God brings neighbors to us. God calls us to different acts of service. And as we grow up, you know, a child, being a child is a vocation. And later, there may be the opportunity that God calls someone into marriage, and that's another vocation. And then into parenthood, and that's another vocation. And it's a dynamic kind of thing. But we understand that God is bringing us to where he wants us to be, even in the normal course of life. And whatever we're doing, wherever God brings us, the neighbors he puts into our lives, all of that is part of our vocation.
Does it? You mentioned a guy that may, a student, have to work at a fast food place, or someone who, through circumstances in life, has either not gotten or lost the job that had some social position attached with some prestige and perhaps a paycheck bigger than his bills were. Now, through the emergencies of life, finds himself in a pretty humble job, barely making ends meet. What is the comfort for someone who's working either the kind of thankless or what society considers to be the lesser of these jobs in the doctrine of vocation?
Yeah, well, first of all, before God, all vocations are equal. Because when we approach God, it's through the merits of Christ. And whether you're a pastor or a peasant or owner of a big business or ministry, or whether you collect garbage for other people and clean up after them, before God, all vocations are equal. And the other thing, it seems the more humble vocations actually involve more direct and dramatic service to the neighbor. In other words, okay, I'm a college teacher, and I'm loving and serving my students. But you know, the guy that picks up my garbage every week, a thankless job, and yet, to me, that's more of a dramatic way of loving and serving. It's such a basic kind of service that we would, you know, it would just be horrible without. You know, athletes and movie stars, those are vocations, I'll admit. But an athlete who gets paid millions and millions of dollars probably isn't doing as much to actually help a neighbor than the, you know, woman that works in the hotel cleaning up rooms for people. You know, her service is even more necessary. And even though the world looks down on such things, God doesn't. And God honors those. And vocation gives dignity to every kind of work. And it should, for other Christians, when we look at people who do work like that, we need to honor them and not look down on them, because they are God is hidden in them, and God honors them. But the other thing, just in the course of life, when you
have trouble, about 20 seconds here, Dr. V.
Okay. Now, we also have to bear our cross in vocation. We talked about that last time, about bearing the cross, and it's in our vocations that has to happen, especially in our families, when we have problems in our families, or in our work, when we're not as successful as we want to be, or when our business fails, and when we have to really struggle to make a living and doing something that maybe is beneath our talents. That's bearing the cross. And as we talked about, in doing that, we're humbled, and we have to turn in faith to Christ to bear the cross for us. But again, just as Christ came in the cross in a humble way, the life we live in, our callings, also where the real action is.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. You can browse before you buy. Just look for the cover of The Spirituality of the Cross at our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can also purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Veith, thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Tomorrow we'll continue our series on Reformation theology with Dr. Veith. Tomorrow we'll discuss living in two kingdoms, a sacred and a secular kingdom. Also tomorrow we'll talk to Dr. Kent Burrison of Concordia Seminary about the Annunciation of Our Lord. That is, well, it's March 25th. That means 9 months before Jesus is born on the Christian calendar. He is conceived and announced by the angel. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Issues, Etc. The comfort is in that Christ has done all for us, so that now, in all the places God has put us, we can do all for our neighbor. And it's all been done. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.